Good morning. Can you hear me clearly in the back? Yeah, is that good? Thank you. I have to begin by saying thank you on behalf of Michelle and I, the way that y'all have received us here. I think really from the first day we stepped in here, we felt right at home. And it's amazing. That's the way God wants it to be. And our prayer is that we reciprocated in showing our love for you as well as you have for us. I want to clarify and begin with a couple of points of clarity. This class is going to begin November 4th, the one that we're talking about today. And the reason we're doing this promo today, if you will, is to explain how it fits into what we have been doing here for the last year in regards to evangelism. And some of you have and some of you have not seen this, so I want to clarify where it's going to be as far as its piece.
Pardon me.
And at what I was just about to say, Ron addressed. I want to, and I'm going to prepare you right now because it's a shock to some of you, especially you teens. If you've been in my class for the last year or so, I'm going to ask you to speak here in a few minutes and to try to share with the rest of the congregation the benefit of it. I didn't ask them ahead of time. I wanted it fresh, and I didn't want a prepared. We all know Chuck is handsome, but I enjoyed it. You know, things like that. And you can have your rebuttal later, but not right now. But I wanted to, whatever it is that they had received from the class, I want it to be fresh. I want them just to speak and say from their heart. They're coming in, so I'm going to stop talking about them. This class that begins on November 4th is going to be in a fellowship hall. Okay? It's going to be 40 people is what we're looking for. And I'll share with you why it is that we have that number in mind, and hopefully we can hit that. Dave Parks is going to begin a class on training our men in understanding worship, how to lead in worship, and be more specific in giving them more comfort when we get up and we lead prayers. That's a tremendous, tremendous necessity. I think I speak for many of the men that sometimes when it's your turn to lead a prayer or to do something, it's humbling, and sometimes you just don't want to do it. I'm speaking, confessing from my own heart, because maybe we're not as sharp that day. Our thoughts aren't as clear, and we just don't feel we can express it. So this class is going to help tremendously. And I think that's a missing ingredient in the Lord's church in this country. And so Dave is going to do that. And it's going to be by invitation. Now, it's not an elite group. It's not a closed group. Or if you're invited, there's some fault with what you're doing. No, that hasn't anything to do with it. There will be many of these. And so it's just a matter of cycling. And I believe it's going to be 8 or 10 men. It's not going to be a class of 40 or 50 people. Okay? So it can deal specifically. So that class is going to be, I believe, in the conference room on Sundays. Tom Sturgeon is going to teach a class in here on Sunday mornings, the adult class. And then the one that we're speaking about today is going to take place in the fellowship hall. And the reason we want it there is so that there are tables that we can sit and write at, okay? And I'll get into more about that class in just a moment. Did I cover that, Dave? Well, yes.
In the ladies' class, we'll continue to be in the community.
Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. And the ladies' class, any of them who do not sign up for this particular class that we're talking about today, the timeline class, will continue in the ladies' room. Now, when we say 40 again, well, I know it wasn't in the men's room, so I figured at least I can get them in the. I'm sorry. All right. It will be in the. Y'all know that. How good you feel about me now, huh? Oh, well. So Tom will teach in here. The ladies will be continuing their class in the community room, and all the ladies who do not sign up for this particular class that we're talking about today. Okay. Did I cover that finally? Okay. If you are visiting with us today, I want to make sure that you understand normally our adult classes are split up and we study the Bible itself. Today's going to be just a little bit of a different presentation. You're actually going to be exposed to some things that have been going on for a while here. In fact, many of our members may not be aware of it. And so this is going to be enlightening to some of you likewise. I want us to turn to Genesis chapter 12. I want to use this as a premise for our thoughts. We've been greetings from Gene and Janice Luna, Argel Allen, former elder at University Drive, who passed away a while ago. His daughter, Janice Luna, worships with her husband at Gene at the college church in Searcy. And if you know them, they said, say hi to everybody back here. It was in the class in Searcy that this was presented, and I really enjoyed this process. Look at Genesis chapter 12, and let's look at the first three verses, because I think this absolutely sets the mindset of God out for us and why he has done for us what he's done. Now the Lord said to Abram, and put your name in there. Now he doesn't want you to leave Ur of the Chaldees, but just think that he's communicating to you the principles that are involved here. Go from your country, leave your kindred and your father's house to the land that I'm going to show you. I will make of you a great nation, and I will bless you and make your name great so that you will be a blessing. Remember that. I will bless you, those who bless you, and I'll curse those who dishonor you. And in you, all the families of the earth shall be blessed. Twice in there, God emphasized that I'm going to bless you, not just so that you're blessed, but there's an imperative command there. The reason I'm blessing you as I'm going to, Abraham, is so that you can be a blessing to others. And I want that to be our thought, because we aren't blessed just to be blessed. You know, just to exist and to have the things we have. You aren't blessed with your talents and abilities just to have those talents and abilities. You are blessed with those talents, abilities, possessions, you name it, so that you can use those to be a blessing to others. That is critical. And I want that to be our thought behind why we're doing here at Waterford what we're doing. I want to also share with you, because my role here, and once again, I want to thank you. I'm a part-time evangelist and a part-time youth minister. Okay? There's a dual role. And to date, not one of you has expected me to be a full-time evangelist and a full-time youth minister. It's not possible. And you have been wonderful in understanding that my time and my efforts are split into two areas. Today, I'm going to be speaking about the evangelism portion of my responsibilities here. Under the guidance and the direction, the encouragement, the support of our shepherds, men like Tom and Dave have been phenomenal. And I have to say, there's hundreds of people who have benefited, that you are going to be benefited by their input if you become part of this class, because there are scores, and it's impossible to name them, who have put all this together and allowed us to be a part of it. But I want to share with us, in this country, what normally happens with evangelism. Now, I'm going to paint with a real wide brush, and I'm talking the United States. I'm not talking here or anywhere else. This is the general philosophy and how it's played out. Either the leadership, or perhaps some from the congregation, go to the leadership. And the thought is, we need to evangelize. This is our responsibility. And because it's brought back into focus, everybody says, okay, this is right. So what happens next, generally speaking, is we have a brainstorming session. The congregation gets together. This is all good. This is real good. And we'll share ideas about how we can reach out into the community. And perhaps you come up, depending on the congregation and the volume of people at the meeting, we come up with maybe 10 or 15 different ways. Well, we can door knock. We can have Invite a Friend Sunday. We can hang door knockers. We can mail flyers. We can do a myriad of different things. Let's give away coats. Let's use God's Helping Hands. Let's use whatever is at our disposal to reach out into the community. And that's good. But it's incomplete. Here's my question. And this is the one that has, been answered within the last 5 years in our mind. What are you going to do when the community comes? Now think about that just for a second. That's the missing link, I think, in this process. In the past, I have explained, can you still hear me in the back? I'll try to speak a little louder. I have referenced it in the past as a bucket, and you've got a spigot. I draw as well as I sing, so just bear with me and I'll explain to you what you got going here. And we've got a faucet here, and we turn it on, and we've got water going into the bucket, right? Kind of easy to understand that part, even with my artistry. But the problem is you've got water that's coming out of the bucket. Now, you can do one of two things. I mean, let's turn the water on faster. Does that fix the problem? No. What do? Everybody, on count of three. One, two, three. Plug the hole, absolutely. So the first thing we do is we plug this hole. With water, it's not a big deal. It's a waste of a resource. You're going to make it a little higher. But the problem still exists that you got a hole. With evangelism, it's very similar. We don't just want to just start bringing a whole bunch of people in without being prepared. Because what's going to happen? Most of the time, they're going to fall through that hole in the bucket. So what I... what I would suggest is we understand what evangelism truly is. Strip away the theories and the philosophies, all that. And don't just throw them away, the good ones, but just set them aside for just a few minutes. And let's strip evangelism down to the absolute bare bones. What is it? And I'll share with you what I believe. And I know Jerry Tallman believes it. And I know the Royal Oak Congregation believes it because there is a seminar this coming Friday and Saturday, this coming week at Royal Oak, Friday night and Saturday. And this is the whole of it. This is what their seminar is about. And I'm blessed to be with Jerry Tallman and Russ Bone in presenting this. Evangelism is bringing people in contact with Jesus. Right? I mean, they can't be saved without Him. And so it's our responsibility to do everything we can to try to bring them to the Savior. Okay, once we do that, what do we do? Well, let's teach them. If you don't teach them what they need to do to be saved, they can't obey. I mean, they look out and see there's a God. The beauty and the absolute precision of this universe does not tell me what I must do to be saved. It confirms and gives full assurance that there's a designer behind it whom we know as God. But that doesn't tell them what they must do. So we need to teach them, biblically, what they must do to be right with God. And then third, what do we do? Well, we've got to keep them safe until they die. These are three different specific areas of evangelism. Okay? I don't know of anything else that's involved here, except a lot of details within each one of these. So the way I see it, we need people who are readers, we need people who are teachers, and we need people who are brothers keepers. Okay? Does that make sense?
That's really kind of basis. That test is stripped down to the bare minimum. Each one of these areas are a separate training ground of its own. Some of us work in one of these, some of us work in two of these, some of us work in all three of these. Every one of us is gifted in some way or another to be involved in one of these areas. Every single one of us. There's not one. But normally what happens is we focus specifically on teaching. And guilty for probably 15, 20 years of saying, you need to be out teaching when you give a lesson. You need to teach. Brother, we need to be teaching our neighbors and our friends. We need to teach your family. You need to teach your co-workers. And the subliminal message we're saying is, you're a teacher, 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 and on and on. Is that true? Of course not. So is it any wonder? Because James says in James 3:1, be not many of you teachers. Isn't it any wonder why sometimes you get that punched in the stomach feeling when, we talk about the names of the E-word. And we almost horrify the thought that I have to go out there and do that. I'm not prepared to do that. Well, you may not even be designed to do that. And we're trying to use round pegs and square holes. It's kind of like if Michelle came to me and said, handsome Chuck. No success. She says, honey, I have this panel on this pot is loose. Would you tighten it? Hey, I'm a nice shiny armor. I can do that. And she leaves the kitchen. And I said, I'm going to go out to the garage and get a screwdriver. But there's a silverware drawer right there. I just got to lean. I can't take a step. So I grab a table and I thought of that silverware drawer. And I start going to the problem. What happens when I start to throw it down? I ruined her night and my day. Depends how soon I go on my other night. But the idea is there. See, we damaged that. Why? It wasn't designed for that. And so now we've ruined or damaged something that we used in the wrong fashion. And that's what we're doing. Satan is phenomenal in his ability to shift our focus. And what we have done is we have minimized the critical value in evangelism of, again, I'm talking the Lord's church, of this area, the brother's keeper. That is critical. And about a year ago, we started a Wednesday night class about being a brother's keeper. And it's more intense than we would normally think. I will make a comment that somebody asked me last night. One of the men in our brother's keeper class was studying with James when he gets back from his cruise on Saturday nights. He wasn't there, but we still got together. And we shared some ideas. And one of the men there said, you know, I talked to somebody from another congregation about brother's keeper, and the response was kind of like, well, shouldn't that just organically exist? Let me ask you a question. Do you really believe that every single person in this congregation is equipped to be a brother's keeper? Just to find out? Of course not. Are there people, and you know, let's just say the Lord's Church University, I don't want to be certain, thinking of individuals, etc., who just really aren't qualified with counsel and experience to be someone to share information and lead another person to a higher level of maturity? I think that's reasonable just by sheer statistics. And there are others, some of us are really equipped well in areas and others not. And so we have to think about the baggage. Here's the person's life over here. They're baptized into Christ. The Lord saves them right away. His blood can, no problem. Where's his baggage? Way out here. And so we have to be patient with this individual as they mature and grow. So not everybody is able to have all those capacities to do that. Okay? So what we have done in the last year, and by the way, we have about 35 to 40 of us that are actually working on a weekly or monthly basis in this arena to shore up and help. People like Curtis, who has just put on Christ and is thirsty, and you're a babe in Christ. That's what the Bible calls you. Who has been baptized the last 6 months in here? Stand up, please, if you don't mind. I know Beth and Curtis. Anybody else in here right now? Tom. Okay. Are these super people? No, absolutely not. Not even remotely. But are they babes in Christ? Yeah. Absolutely. Give me a sit down, please. What it simply means is they haven't got 30 years' experience in the Lord with His wisdom permeating their thoughts and allowing that baggage that they got well, to be eliminated. And so it takes some unique people who want to be part of this nurturing process to bring them to maturity. Kindly, gentle, overlooking the things that just don't really matter right now, and look at the bigger picture of getting them to be more like Jesus and their recognizes. Luke 2:52 says Jesus grew in four ways. Wisdom, stature, favor with God and man. He grew, he got wiser, he got smarter, he developed information. He had his physical needs met. If Mary didn't feed him and Joseph didn't provide, he would physically die. So his physical needs were met. He grew spiritually in favor with God and socially in favor with man. Those four areas we need to look out for all new Christians to make sure that they're receiving these areas in nice town. Where the most important one is right now. Because you know what? If I ask our elders to stand up and those three that just stood up, what's the difference between them in God's eyes? Nothing. See, everybody's in the in crowd, or there's no out crowd. Everybody's accepted. Everybody's home. Is Curtis not a joint heir with Christ because he hasn't been a Christian long enough?
Yes.
No, of course he is. Is he a more joint heir than Don Robinson? Of course not. We share equally with the Savior, and we need to think that way. And so what we're doing is we're securing these new Christians the best that we can, and we're incorporating many of you into this who are not part of the classes. See, that's the critical part of evangelism, the brother keeper. Because you know what? Yvonne, when were you baptized? 2 years? Okay. Has John brought anybody to the Lord yet?
No.
Sitting right next to her, huh? New Christians are some of the most excited and evangelistic people on this planet. They've just been cleansed. Unfortunately, sometimes as we grow older, we lose that awe. We lose that. We make our temper. That passion, that desire to just grow and take ourselves by God's grace, He grants our increase, to another level. And so we're thrilled about this excitement that they bring. And guess what they do? They start bringing people left and right. So poster child, and I'm going to tell you something, I'm going to say this to Jerry, I love you and you know it. Jerry Lafferty was baptized here in Waterford 100 years ago. Not bad for 135 years. She left the water for many years. She came back and she put her foot out of the van and then put it back in and said, I'm not going in. And then she said, oh, yes, I. She put her foot out of the van. 2 years ago, 2.5 years ago, something like that. Almost 3 years ago now. Because Jerry just wanted to share with others the excitement that she has in Christ. 84 people. 84 people in 3 years. We've either had Bible studies or they come to worship and we baptize you. 84? One person. How many people has she taught? How many people have you taught, Jerry?
None.
Not one. So she's useless in evangelism. No. Unfortunately, we do. And so what I want to do is to make you aware that this portion of Brothers Keepers has been in effect, and we're working on that, and have been for some time. Now, where does the timeline class fit in that we're going to be out of time if I don't move along? Where does it fit in? Well, there's three major advantages to it that we try to accomplish. Okay? Those are, we want to strengthen our Bible knowledge.
It helps. Yeah. I always refer to it as like the days of the week. You've got them all floating in your head. You got 7 days just kind of floating around up there. And someone who doesn't understand a week, say, well, no, you got a Sunday. Then you pull Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, you do that. Oh, that's what a week is. Well, that happens with our Bible knowledge oftentimes. It's all up there, but sometimes, especially the Old Testament, it's like a closet. You throw that information and shut the door. And then it gets more and you throw it in and shut the door. See, it's not organized. What we try to do with this timeline is to put it in a sequential order so it makes sense. Okay? That's pretty simple. If you're in my Sunday morning class, stand up. Right now. Austin. Come forward. Blake.
Stay there. I've been waiting.
For me, what it did is it put things in layman's terms to me, to where it took the Old Testament, the New Testament, combined it all, to where I got a better understanding of it. So if someone comes to me, I can explain to them a little bit. And at that point, I said, direct them towards Chuck here. But it did. It put it into perspective that I could understand. So pretty much in a nutshell, that's what it was.
Thank you. Austin, I have not given you a grade yet. Go ahead.
Well, that's it now. Up to now, I liked you, but Jesus. No, it's, I'll be honest, when I came in the class, I don't know why, but I didn't exactly enjoy it as much as I was used to this person's son, Will. But you blew my mind. As you know, I love history, and you really connected the history and the timeline with it in the Bible, and it clicked. And I know we goof around a lot, as you guys can probably tell. And you make it interesting, and I enjoy it. You know, I really do. And I want to say thanks, first of all, for teaching the class and everything. And the timeline, it just works. It's a good way of understanding it, and I like it.
Well, I was going to go with the history part also, because it really does a great job of taking the scriptures, which we all are quite familiar with, and connects them to historical events that are documented in many other ways other than just in Scripture. And it proves for men, believers and non-believers, that that God is real, that Christ is real, and that the events of the Bible are bona fide, factual, accurate, historical events that took place, which drives the message home with people who don't want to believe or haven't believed. And it's just incredibly sound teaching. Chuck is quite good at it, and he has taught a number of other people who are growing in the ability to teach this message and get it across. Well, let me just say one more thing. Think about the teenage classes that you sat in as a teen, if you did. Think about teenage classes that you have seen or heard about in other places where you've attended, and how teens kind of just sort of show up, not show up, never ask a question, don't want to participate, please don't ask me to read, let me take a nap, just not engaged in a class. Now, they're all right here, and they can all refute me if I'm not speaking the truth. these teens are engaged in this class. They make a purpose to show up Sunday in and Sunday out. They ask questions. They answer questions. They're always thinking. Nobody's nodding off. They like being there. And if you can do that with teens, and I taught high school for 5 years, and I won't go on with the other reasons why I think I can say this with certainty. If you can do that with teens, others are going to be equally as engaged and as excited and as motivated by this class, maybe more than most classes you've ever been in. I recommend it.
All right, so thank you.
So what's the content?
There's two ways this class is going to be presented. One, I just shared with you, to strengthen our Bible knowledge. That's one of the series of it. Two, I want to show you I know this is going to be 26 weeks, but I want to share with you how I usually will study with people. Now, you take everybody from where they're at. You know, if I'm studying with somebody who has Bible knowledge, it's pretty good, it's just maybe confused a little bit, I'm not going to go back and start with Genesis 1 and then go through. I'll start with where I believe that they're at, and let's get them to the Savior. That's the second reason. Third reason is I'm hoping out of these 40 people that there will be 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, or more that want to learn how to teach it. Now, granted, that's not the only reason for you to be in there. But one of those three reasons are. When Andrew Scribner, on our second study that we have with his timeline at the house, I said, you can teach this Sunday. And he said, no way. He's already taught it once outside the home, and he's got a second one started. And Tommy Kaluzny is helping with it. Brother, we just need to take time and be patient and teach people and train people. And to help facilitate this set of portion of the biblical model of evangelism, John Furness is going to be in this class, and he's actually, because he's got this incredible, I call him a brainiac. He's smart. And he can do things concisely, which is not even in my vocabulary. That word, you know, doesn't exist. And he can ferret it out and put together a manual so that you can be able to teach people. You can have it with you if you want. And you can flip through it. The manual will be for if you want to teach a class of Christians to develop their knowledge. That will be longer, which is what this November 4th kickoff will be. If it's a lost soul, it won't take 26 weeks to get them to Jesus. It'll be much more concise, just getting the high points across. Because you certainly want to get them to a position where they know what they need to be saved. What are the results and the benefits from this? Well, of the last 28 people that we taught the timeline to and baptized them, 24 are still faithful. Brother, that's off the charts. But it's not just the timeline teaching, it's that third quadrant. The working with them, the securing them, the loving them, making them believe. Curtis, you're one of us, man. You're home. That's the way it really is. And we have a responsibility to be your brother, your sister, your mother for you spiritually. We owe you that. And it's one of the most beautiful promises that we can fulfill that Jesus ever gave us to do is to welcome in this new brother, sister. So in this timeline process, we're securing their knowledge. We're going to share some time. We're going to share a lot of Christian references. Do this. Turn around, pull out your paper Bible, not your electronic one. Because you can't do it with electronic. And I want you to take your left hand and I want you to pinch between your fingers the first 12 chapters of Genesis. And then with your thumb and forefinger of your right hand, unless you're pinch the rest of the Bible through Revelation between your thumb and forefinger of your right. Let me ask you a question. Are those equal? Likewise. Do you realize the first 12 chapters of Genesis shoot over 2,000 years? 2,000 years.
and the rest of the entire Bible covers about 2,100 years. You think that doesn't look? How many have never heard that before? Raise your hand. Kind of surprising, isn't it? But how do you think somebody who doesn't understand the Bible feels like? Here's what I want you to do. Please, if you want to be part of this class, grab a card from in front of you. Write your name on it. Now, if it's, say, three or four in your family that are going to be in, put that down and put each person's name and then a big four in circle. So it's very clear to someone of my level of intelligence. We're going to take the first 40 people in this class. I've already picked a few like John. I definitely want them in there to help out. If you've been through this a couple of times, I would ask you for today, don't put your name and sign up for it because we want to share it with others. If you can't commit to 26 weeks, I know you're going to be sick. There'll be a vacation in there. But, you know, if you want to make 15 to 18 a week, don't put your name on this one. We'll cycle it again. Okay? And if you don't sign up by November 4th, this sounds mean and elitist, but it doesn't mean that, you may not commit. Okay? And what we're doing, because it has to be that way, because what we're doing is each week we'll build upon the previous week, and if you come in at week 9, we can't start all over for you. Okay? So if you can't do it right now, that's fine. Jump into the next session, 27 weeks from now. And I ask you to commit to it. We are going to have tables set up. I will write on the board. You will write down what I write on the board, and we will add to it each week. Is there going to be homework in the class? That was the final buzzer.
It will be gentle homework, I promise you. Thank you. If you have questions about it, please come see me after worship. And also, don't forget...